All right. Yeah. Bless you, Bob. Bless your heart. All right. God bless you all. Please be seated, guys. Thank you very much. And what a morning it's been, huh? My goodness, great music. Wonderful sharings of different things. But that's just step one, huh? First of all, before I get into it, I want to say it's my brother's birthday today. You know, 35 years of living on the planet. Don't they say that once you hit 30, it all goes downhill from there? Okay, well, I'll find out soon enough, I guess, huh? Anyways, my goodness. What's that?
60 or 70.
Oh, 60 or 70. All right. So, yes, what a blessing it is to be here gathered together this morning. So we'll see what God has to show us. I'll preface this by saying a couple Mondays ago I started this teaching series that I'm calling The Roadmap to Deliverance. And it came to me out of the blue, as many things do, as you're putting together sharings, as you're walking with the Father, seeing what He wants His family to know at a specific time and place. And I heard the word roadmap, and I forget where it came from. I forget where I heard it. Oh, of course, I've heard, but we all know what a roadmap is, right? We all go on road trips as we were kids. Maybe some of you currently like to travel. I know Michael Barbera likes to travel on occasion. Now we have GPS, so roadmaps are no longer needed. But back in the day, we go online to MapQuest and type in our destination, and it'll give you this roadmap, how to get from point A to point B. And I remember when we were kids, many of us probably be in the car, we would be traveling to wherever. Mom, Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's been 5 minutes. Are we there yet? Anyways, the point of all that is that to get to another destination, it takes time, and it takes certain steps you have to go through, right? You have to pack. You have to make sure your car is ready to go if you're on a road trip. You gotta jump through all these different hoops just to be able to travel. And if you have kids that are really small and young, that's a whole other layer to it. So anyways, deliverance, something we all need probably 100% of the time. We may not be physically ill. We may feel okay, but I feel like there's always something that God can improve or deliver us from. Because let's face it, all you got to do is walk down the street and you're going to run into something that would cause you to feel, let's say anything but peaceful, right? But anyways, there's always a choice, okay? You can either, if you're going through something, if you're going through a physical ailment or maybe even a mental or something spiritual going on, you have two choices. You can react to it or you can respond to it, okay? And you know what? People who tend to react to it, I call it a victim mindset. Oh, poor me. We're not victims. We are victors, right? So you get the picture. You can get up that way every morning, get things started, get your day started, because your mind will automatically start to gravitate towards things like, okay, I'm going to go out and I'm going to think good thoughts, I'm going to help people, I'm not going to react to situations or circumstances when they arrive, but guess what? It is going to happen. So how are you going to respond? Anyways, God put it on my heart to start this little series called The Roadmap to Deliverance, because as of recently, many folks are dealing with different types of challenges, myself included. And I wanted to share part two of this series, and I simply call it Breaking Free. I'm so glad the band played that song, Chainbreaker, because who's ever heard of something like that? We all have breaking chains is another phrase that gets coined around from time to time. But chains, when people talk about chains that they have to break, Chains come in all forms and all sizes and in all shapes. And sadly, there's a lot out there that people need to break free from. It's just the reality of living in the five senses realm. Worry, fear, doubt, depression, low self-esteem, I'm not worthy enough to be in the presence of God. That's a big one out there. Not feeling worthy enough to be good enough for God, basically. Perhaps that's the most common thing that I see. But guess what? It all takes one thing. It takes courage. And courage is once you get it, it can solve a whole lot of problems all on its own. But courage to really confess your truth, confess your reality. Courage to put your foot down and say, you know what, devil, get out of here, because in the name of Jesus Christ, I have peace. And I have every other thing that the Word of God says that I have. But I've asked Barney and Vicky, they had a recent testimony that I wanted them to share, and we've got them queued up. So let's have a listen to this audio file, and we'll see what they have to say, okay?
Point Loma Assembly, and for those on YouTube and Facebook Live, and free conference call, God bless everybody. Daniel's been doing a great teaching and sharing on the roadmap to deliverance, and he reached out to us to see if we could share a testimony or story that would really go right along with what he's been sharing. And something recently did happen, and I wanted Vicky to really kind of give you the overall story, okay?
Well, there's a lady that comes to our fellowship here in Norman, and she struggled the last 2 or 3 years with issues with her adult children who have taken over the business that her and her husband built over the years, which was all in the plans. But in doing so, they've become to just push her out of anything she's done to help the company. And then it went further to pushing her away from their lives. And she is the only one that stands on the word in that group. And then on the other side of the coin is whenever they need something, one of the grandkids are sick or can't go to school and they need her to help, then they call her. And she goes and does it. She's a very kind, loving person. And this has really gotten to her heart. It really has hurt her, and she doesn't feel like she knows what to do about it. And so she came to talk to me after fellowship. And after listening to what she was saying, and I've known about this situation since we've been here off and on, we've talked, I really wanted God to show me what to say to her. Because I know she's hurting, and I wanted to see her get deliverance from something she's been hurting over quite a few years. And God just directed me to tell her to take control of her emotions, that these words are not bigger than His word. The things they say to her are not more powerful than how He feels about her. And so we began to talk about that, about her emotion is the thing that the adversary is using against her. Her deliverance is to let go of the hurt feelings and remember and go to God's word and see what God has to say about her and to her. And that the devil knows what works, what gets to her. So she's got to stand against it. And that's what we have to do. We have to stand against the attacks of the adversary. And many times it is up to us individually with God working within us to rebuke those words, to not allow those words to make us feel bad because they're a lie. And so we went to the scriptures and saw some of those types of scriptures where it talks about how much God loves you and how important you are to Him. And it was a really great conversation. I felt like her heart was open to receive, and she was in a much better place when she left after fellowship that Sunday. And then I think it was maybe three Sundays after that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't at that fellowship. I was here at the house, and Barney went to fellowship out there, and she shared a little testimony. So I'm going to let him tell you that part.
Yeah, I mean, unbeknownst to anybody there, they know she's had her struggles and what have you, but she said, I have something I'd really like to share with you all, the fellowship. And so, of course, she was, you know, they gave her the opportunity. And she said, you know, I just want to say how thankful I am for everybody here and all the support and everything that, you know, people have given to me over the years. And I've kind of had an awakening because two, three weeks ago, I talked with Barney's wife, Vicki, and she shared some things with me that have really changed my perspective on how I'm dealing with situations, especially, you know, regards to my family and those who are really close to me, and how to not let their responses or their acceptance or rejection of me really affect me and hurt me in a difficult way. And one thing that she did mention is that the company's having a Christmas party that's being hosted, and they aren't inviting her or her husband. And she used that as an example of how that really in the past could have gotten to her and just caused her to, let's say, go down the rabbit hole. But this time she was able to really grab a hold of her mind, and she said that she just asked God, okay, God, what can I do in this situation? Because I do not want to be hurt. I do not want to be feeling bad because of this. And she said, I was just reminded that I'm in control of my emotions and my feelings. And God worked with me to really help me to realize that my joy in life is not dependent upon what other people think about me or what other people say about me, and that I don't need to be so concerned about that. So as a follow-up to what Vicki shared, this is what happened, which this lady shared here just a couple of days ago. So in light of what Daniel's teaching on the roadmap to deliverance, our lives, our words, and the one body of Christ is so intricately connected. And we never can underestimate the effect that our lives have on others and the kind of perspective that we can offer to really help them be more
focused on God
and the things of God, and therefore more peaceful and joyful in their everyday life. So that's a great testimony. Blessed to share it with you guys, and looking forward to the rest of the morning here, and God bless you. Love you.
Love you.
Yeah, it's really something. But you know what? It takes quite a bit to exhibit the courage that is needed to really ultimately break away from bondage. Because many people feel like they're unworthy and do not live up to the expectations that God has put forth to be a part of His family. But you know what? Only God, the only thing that God instructs for somebody to do to be accepted into heaven is to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that's it. Hallelujah, anyways. But you know what? It also says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you thought about that, if someone did not believe in you for whatever reason, happens all the time, would you take that person seriously? Probably not. Because ultimately, actions do speak louder than words. So we're going to start this morning in Romans chapter 8. This is a classic section. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. They forgot a few things. Financial status. Car issues. Your job title. Things going on in your life. Your inner struggles. Your thoughts, your feelings, your wins, your losses. Anything you could think of, the list goes on and on. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. And because it really is unconditional. But this is what I would say for the most part is the biggest inner conflict of a lot of people. Because they get stuck on things that they may have done or things that they should have done in the past. And they keep themselves in the past. Now, think about that for a moment. Who's ever heard of the phrase, forget the past? Don't live in the past. Forget about it. Exactly. Really? You know, I believe there's a verse in Romans 15 that says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were there for learning, that through patience and comfort the Scriptures we might have hope. So there is a benefit to remembering even perhaps the things in which we have gone through for our learning today, just like Paul is talking about in that verse. But the trick is to not allow the turmoil of the past to define ourselves today. Because you do have value. And your testimony of the past is a determining factor of the strength that you exhibit today. Because there are many times where God has come through for you. All of the things that we just mentioned, your financial struggles, your whatever the case may be, God has come through for you many times. But I want you to think about the title of this series, The Roadmap to Deliverance. Because how many people are saying out loud or in their own lives, you know, it's been 5 minutes, how come I'm not seeing any results? Are we there yet? Am I there yet? Just like I mentioned, you know, we would say in our parents' cars, it's been 2 minutes, how come we're not there yet? But it takes time, you know? I want to read a poem here. It's called I Can Handle It. Here it goes. Today is a new day. It will bring brand new blessings and brand new battles. But within every uncertainty, there is a hidden possibility. So I don't dread any challenge that lies ahead. Because I remember all the victories behind me, and my confidence is not in my circumstance. No, the Spirit of God is my supply. I'm steady under pressure, and I'm ready for whatever. Because whatever comes my way today, the outcome is I overcome. Christ is in me. I am enough. I can handle it. I can't afford to stay afraid or let my faith hesitate. My purpose is at stake, and he who called me is faithful. His strength in me is greater than any pain I feel or enemy I face. The promise of God is mine for the taking. Every plan he has made is guaranteed to come to pass. It will happen. If I don't back down, if I won't let go, it will happen. If I don't stop short, if I won't sell out, it will happen by faith. But faith doesn't take the fear away. It teaches me to fight it. So bring the battle. I'm ready now. I got something for Goliath. I can handle it. My power flows from presence, so I won't stay stuck in what was or worry about what will be. My regrets have been redeemed, and my tests have become my lessons. My focus is fixed, and my heart is expectant. I'm set. I'm not nervous about what's next, because my eyes are on the throne. I trust the one who called me and leads me. I can handle it. Talk about breaking down chains and confessing your reality, huh? Because at the end of the day, your status as a child of God is not determined by the things you're going through, by the circumstances around you. Because guess what? Circumstances change. And they can be changed. But once you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that sealed the deal. Along with that comes some incredible realities that make us realize our fullest potential as a child of the Most High God. So instead of wallowing in the things that are usually so temporary, such as fear, worry, doubt, not feeling adequate enough, why don't we try these things instead? I am spirit-filled. I am a partaker of the divine nature. I'm a light-bearer. I am worthy. I am more than a conqueror. I have been bought with a price. I have sonship rights. There are so many little declarations you can say to yourself. You know what those do? They break chains. Let me fire off just a few verses here. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read them to you. About being free. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. John chapter 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In verse 36, in John 8, says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, then you shall be free indeed. What about Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 2? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And I want to say that the main point of sharing is to live knowing that we are free. I want to close out by reading an excerpt from this book here called Wild at Heart, Discovering the Secret of a Man's Soul. Any gentlemen have this book or have read this before? It's a great book. And this section here is called Hanging On to the Truth. This kind of applies to just about anyone. Here it is. In any hand-to-hand combat, there's a constant back and forth of blows, dodges, blocks, counterattacks, and so forth. That's exactly what is going on in the unseen around us. Only it takes place initially at the level of our thoughts. When we are under attack, we've got to hang on to the truth. Dodge the blow, block it with a stubborn refusal, slash back with what is true. This is how Christ answered Satan. He didn't get into an argument with him, try to reason his way out. He simply stood on the truth. He answered with Scripture, and we've got to do the same. This will not be easy, especially when all hell is breaking loose around you. It will feel like holding on to a rope while you're being dragged behind a truck, like keeping your balance in a hurricane. Satan doesn't just throw a thought at us, he throws feelings too. Walk into a dark house late at night and suddenly fear sweeps over you. Or just stand in a grocery line with all those tabloids shouting stuff at you and suddenly a sense of corruption is yours. But this is where your strength is revealed and even increased through exercise. Stand on what is true and do not let go. Period. The traitor within the castle will try to lower the drawbridge, but don't let him. When Proverbs 4:23 tells us to guard our hearts, it is saying lock them up because they're really criminal to the core. It's saying defend them like a castle. The seat of you do not want to give away. There's a quote here. As Kempis says, yet we must be watchful, especially in the beginning of the temptation, for the enemy is then more easily overcome if he is not suffered to enter the door of our hearts, but is resisted without the gate at his first knock. Remember the scene in Braveheart where Robert the Bruce's evil father is whispering lies to him about treason and compromise? He says to Robert, when the enemy says to us in a thousand ways, all men betray, all men lose heart, how does Robert answer? He yells back, I don't want to lose heart. I want to believe like Wallace does. I will never be on the wrong side again. This is the turning point in his life and in ours. The battle shifts to a whole new level. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning with great hope and expectation for the future. I pray for each person presently here with us and on the conference call and other airways, Father, that you can just continue to strengthen us and guide us on this path to deliverance that we're on. Whatever the case may be, Father, you're the one who knows all the details better than we do ourselves. I want to just say a prayer of deliverance for all those who need it, Father. Even those who are not with us, Father. Because the body of Christ is a very large group of people, and we all need deliverance at some point in time. So I claim that deliverance in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, Father, which is the name above all names. But thank you for being the God that you are to us, Father. And we praise your holy name till we take our last breath, Father. And it's in the powerful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they all said, amen. Bless your hearts.
Amen.